The views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants in no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host, John DePietro.
All right, good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the Power Hour. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. We normally do it on Mondays, but because yesterday was the holiday, we're going to do it today, which is Political Monday, turns into Political Tuesday. This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by K's. Stop in and see them lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. They're waiting for you. K's. Cass Ave, right across from CVS in Woonsocket. Let's bring him on. He's the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Good afternoon to Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Justin. I want to start off. Yesterday was a holiday. Governor Mundo, kind of unusual, a Monday afternoon on a holiday press conference. But nonetheless, she has the press conference. And what does it come down to? Well, they want to lay out and kind of dictate the story that the real story that they want is that we need to invest in our state's park system. That's the headline they want. What it really comes down to is adding more jobs, and now fees are going to go up. Fee increases, they say they're going to be modest, but there's still going to be fees associated with both the beaches, and then as they lay out the story, the amount of people that are working for DEM, and that's going to increase. Now, to me, Justin, I want to get your thoughts on it. And apparently they're going to do a listing tour where they're going to around the state and talk about this. I don't understand why they're going to have public hearings on that unless they're going to try to get people out and turn it into some kind of a pep rally that, hey, this is great. We're going to invest in the parks and the beaches. It still just comes down to most of the people, when you go to any of the parks or the beaches, there's a lot of families. There's a lot of, depending on the time, but a lot of elderly use it. But there's so many different things that, in essence, to me, could be cut for unnecessary spending. As much as they want to try to say this isn't another tax, anytime you're attaching a fee and the public and the residents are going to have to charge more for it, in this case, to use the state parks and the beaches, it's just another form of a tax. So Governor Mundo, she can do her, we're going to go around the state and we're going to have open hearings and blah, 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 and the first one's going to be in Westerly. I don't understand the point of that, but it all just comes down to another fee that people are going to have to pay.
Oh, yeah, certainly. It's a lot like my perspective on tolls when they started to be implemented over here in the Sakana River Bridge and then the truck tolls. You know, there's nothing wrong with user fees and having people who use a service pay more for it and offset the cost of those services. But the problem is you never see the other side of it where they reduce the overall tax burden. And so you hear Governor Raimondo talking about wanting to invest in our parks and our beaches. Well, you know, I kind of feel like I'm already investing in that. So this seems just like another way to grab some more money. And it's all throughout her budget this year and every year. But this year it's the beach fees, camping fees, a new Medicaid assessment, a surcharge on guns and ammunition, cigarette tax and hotel tax increases, new taxes on marijuana perhaps, digital downloads, lobbying. I made a list, by the way. Interior design, landscaping, hunting and shooting. So these are all new areas of revenue she wants to pursue, and it's hard to see any of that is really honestly about an investment. It's all about more money, especially when this is all at the same time she's repeating her one of her favorite tricks is the budgetary scoop, where the state government comes in to flush out its budget, grabs money from restricted funds that the state has, and these are things that are usually backed by some kind of specific fee that's for a service, but it's costing less to provide the service than the revenue they're taking in. So the state comes in and says, okay, we'll take that revenue away from you. So all this talk of investing and having user fees and that sort of an idea, it all just comes out in a wash and becomes, you know, more funding for this very expensive government that we already have.
Justin, you know what else? It reminds me of the whole element of the fee increase and fees. And when we talked about Governor Mundo and the big profile on her in the New York Times, some of the emails showed they keep going back and forth on the word fees or taxes or what. Do you remember that? What was that exactly with the back and forth of how it was going to be described?
That was the Medicaid assessment, where they'll be charging businesses 10% of an employee's salary if that salary is on Medicaid. If that employee is on Medicaid. So the Raimondo administration wants to call that an assessment, where we're charging the companies essentially for a service we're offering them by providing health care to their employees. And even the liberal New York Times said, no, that's got to be called a tax, because that's what it really is. And that's what all of these things are.
Now, also moving on, right now there's a lot of talk about who's going to be the head of the next head, excuse me, of the Republic. God bless me, of the Republican Party. I think Brandon Bell, by and large, I don't know, I can't speak to what he did in the field. As far as being a president's filing complaints, press releases, getting a lot of bang for the buck. He got a lot of coverage when he would go after various things that would happen. I thought Chairman Bell did a very good job. I can't say so much about the way the slate unrolled. He lost. He ran for office and lost. And then when you look at the infighting that happened within the party, Trillo and Morgan attacking Cranston Mayor Alan Fung, and then the rest of the slate all going down in defeat, and the way that it certainly was lackluster. And then you even had the Carl Weinstein thing, where first he was running for lieutenant governor and then he backed out of it. It certainly had some problems when it came to election time. But I think by and large, as far as just being a face, very quick, rapid response, using humor, he scored a lot of points and really got under the skin of people like Matt Aiello and some of the Democrats with his reaction to things. And he got a lot of, he delivered results regarding some of the cases that he would appeal or go after the Ethics Commission and ask them to look into. Right now, the field seems to be former Representative Lancia, Susie Yankee, who was the head of the town council in East Greenwich, and then you have two other individuals, Michael Veary, who ran for office up here. Now Ken Mondanca has also announced that he is going to run. And I'm blank. Is there yet another candidate who was announced as well?
Did you say Rebecca Schiff?
Rebecca Schiff, I'm sorry, who's in Jamestown, who also ran for office and lost, who also, she's already gotten some press, putting out an email. She's going to strategically work with the media. What do you think right now, what that role should be, and how does the field shake out to Justin Katz?
Well, I think you got the context right in looking at Brandon Bell, and he's very effective as a sort of an opposition leader, you know, poking holes in the opposition, which is the establishment Democrat Party. That he did a good job of that, but as you also point out, with his failure to be elected and some of the electoral problems, there's a lot of the work that needs to be done for the Rhode Island GOP is unifying around a message, and opposition work isn't necessarily, it's sort of secondary to having your own message that your candidates can rally behind and run on. And that's where I think a lot of the work and the focus needs to be. And so, it's hard to tell. You look at a slate of five candidates right now running for a field of five candidates running for this position to run the state GOP. It's kind of hard to answer the question what they actually want to do it for. There's not a whole lot to it. I guess you can go to the convention, you get to be in, the reporters will call you up to be the person who offers the opposition view. But I'm not sure what needs to happen here is somebody who, out of those five, or probably out of those five, who can really start to talk to the others, maybe talk them into backing out, starting to pull together all of the various factions. I mean, right now the Rhode Island Republican Party and conservative movement all together in Rhode Island, it's such a small field that it's very easy for little pockets to develop and compete, and you lose this sort of unifying voice. And that's what the state GOP could and probably should be at this point, given the current state of politics. And I think it's a little early to tell who of the five is going to represent that view. I know Rebecca Schiff is been backed by Alan Fung. Susie Yankee has some support among conservatives. Ken Mondanca seems to be somewhat aligned with the House GOP. The other two, I haven't much heard where their bases of support are coming from. So we've still got a lot of factionalism of groups that really should be, coming together to form and figure out what is our core selling point? What is our basic image that we're going to put in opposition to the leading Democrats? The reason people should look to us instead of them. And that has yet to emerge. And I think that's going to be a real key for any successful chairperson to have.
I agree with you. And again, I liked Brandon. I thought, you know, he was very good in the role. He was very good with the media. He's very knowledgeable. He's got a good way about him. I think he was well served. I think, without question, the Trump presidency for some people has made it more difficult. But just looking through the field of who's going to replace him, that Rebecca Schiff, who you mentioned, who is backed by Team Fung, when I read in the Providence Journal that she wrote in the name Carly Fiorina for president instead of the president, in my mind, I'm just talking in my mind, that's a disqualifier right there. I mean, that's a wasted vote. That means there were two people on the ballot. It was President Trump and Hillary Clinton. And that is reminiscent to me of the way Chafee would write in George W. Bush. He wrote in Bush's father, actually, in running for president. Someone that can't pick between one of the two people that was on the ballot, and then never mind the president actually wins, I think that is a problem. Susie Yankee, as much as I know her and I think very highly of her, I think part of her problem is going to be she had an ally within the Republican Party who was Patricia Morgan, who is certainly on the outside. So I think she is seen as aligned with Patricia Morgan. Very and Lancey to the side. To me, the one that I think seems to make the most sense, I've met him, he's got a great way about him, is that Ken Mendonca. And I think a key part of Mendonca is the fact that Blake Filippi put out a statement, I know on Twitter, that's who he backs and wants to be the head of the party. And Justin, to me, Blake Filippi, who's the leader, who right now is a fresh face up there. He has a high likability. He has proven he's able to work with a lot of different people. He really is like the power of the GOP up there. I mean, you have some good people. Don't get me wrong with Brian Newberry and some of the others. But Blake Filippi, if that's who he wants, and he's the leader of the 9-member Republican bloc in the House, I think that he should get the person that he wants. If he feels that he and Mendonca, that he could work with him and try to recruit more people to run for, there were certain offices where someone could become a Republican rep. They could grow that caucus and have more seats, become a bigger voice at the State House. I think if that's who Filippi wants, I think you have to give him the tools that he wants. And right now, he seems to choose and want that Ken Mendonca would be the choice of the party.
Yeah, that's a reasonable argument. And other things Mendonca has suggested, you know, looking to shift some of the workload from a chairperson so that it's not all about that person. Some of it, he said, would go on to Filippi as a voice in the House, and he also wants to look into hiring a full-time director. Those sound, you know, like reasonable strategies for a Republican Party, but the phrase that kind of sticks in my ear that you just said was, you know, the Republican power in the House or something to that effect. And if maybe Representative Filippi is that, but the question is, what is that? What is the Republican power? It just doesn't... I have not yet seen from Representative Filippi a newer way of addressing the Rhode Island GOP's predicament in the state, in the legislature or more generally. And I'm kind of hesitant to kind of go along with the sort of standard political process of it. You know, he's sort of the leader, Representative Filippi, in the House, and so he needs to be unified with the party and so on. That's kind of the way it's done, but I feel like it's not been working. And maybe some of the other candidates, one of the things, for example, I found attractive in Susie Yankee running is that she's been, you know, in the fight in East Greenwich and shaken things up. And a lot of people have said, you know, she did a lot of things wrong, but there's something in that fight and that willingness to really to go for it against the established interests of the state, that really I think the Rhode Island GOP needs in a big way. So the question is, do we all come together to coordinate, you know, between the Rhode Island House and the state GOP chairman, or does the Rhode Island House, they're kind of, you know, not exactly firebrands against the speaker, and, you know, they're somewhat cooperative, it has seemed, over the years. And so you've got that. Maybe the state chairperson needs to be a little bit more of a firebrand to pull in the conservatives. That's going to be one of the questions that the people who get to make the vote from all the committees around the state will have to consider.
To me, a firebrand is only works if it works. I mean, they did flip the council as a result of everything you just said. But I think, you know, there were problems with Patricia Morgan. She obviously now, Flippy's new. She did not get along with Mike Chippendale and Brian Newberry. There was a lot of back and forth going on. She was fighting with Lancia, who was then allegations against that. Patricia Morgan is the head of the Republicans up just as far as the House, seemed to be fighting back and forth amongst just a very small caucus. And then, you know, going out and saying that she should have run like Trillo because the whole system is rigged. And I mean, to me, it was a lot of internal destructiveness. So you got to have someone who's going to be more team oriented and kind of go along with the team. I just feel they have an opportunity to kind of extend the brand a little bit, and they have to reach some people that are maybe on the fence and really exploit the fact of, you know, that you don't want to be along with the progressives. If the Republicans could get up there more, the way that Mattiello's power continues to shrink because of the progressives, they could then stand against him getting a majority. So I think there is an opportunity there. But I just think it's kind of like the Bill Parcells thing. If you're going to, you know, make him do the cooking, let him shop for the groceries. If you want Filippi to grow and be successful with the party, which I think he is, got a tremendous potential, and he's just getting started. This is his first, you know, session where he is, in fact, the Republican leader. You have to give him the tools that he wants. To me, he seems to want Mendonca for different reasons, so I would be akin to go to that. I want to jump to this whole business with the Loft and Asensio, Justin. We had to have a special election for him. He was the big progressive dream. They all loved him. He ran. He won for the Warren Bristol area. Now we find out that not only did he send out, he did not send out, excuse me, a fake mailer, and then that caused the caucus to kick him out, and he resigned from his seat before he even started. Now there's new charges of him taking, and it's really incredible, taking the money from the Sierra Fund and misspent nearly $14,000, and some of that went towards this, quote, Rhode Island Working Families Party. And the more you kind of dig into the story, it would seem that his family even owns the building where the rent was going. So someone who was the big progressive, and he was young, and they loved him, and, you know, the Loft and Asensio and the New Way, and he was totally on board with all the progressives. He actually now seems that he could be in a lot of trouble, and with this is not just nickel and dime small amount of money. He took that money from the Sierra Club and completely misspent it and misled people in a lot of different alleys.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I often will express a lot of sympathy for people who just have campaign, you know, pure campaign finance violations or errors. But this, if these allegations prove out, then you're talking fraud and embezzlement. I mean, if the treasurer of a group takes money from that group and puts it in his own campaign and then pays some of it to another organization that so it can pay its rent, which apparently goes to his family, the rent does, that's actually, you know, literally theft if that turns out to be true. So yeah, it's a whole nother ball game. But the thing that really jumped out at me, looking at the groups involved, you know, you're talking about a whole bunch of progressive organizations all in the same property, kind of sharing resources and so on and so forth. It almost makes me think of that old public service commercial where the father's asking the kid how he learned how to do drugs, and the kid says, "I learned it by watching you." I mean, if you look at if you follow the progressive and insider union, especially finances in this state at all, you see this kind of thing happening all the time. So like the National Education Association, the teachers union, has a business park over there on Bald Hill Road. And I think it's being renovated now, but it cycles through every progressive organization at one point or another seems to have office space there, including the union's PAC, which gives money to Progress RI, which is Guy Dufault, whose son is with Checkmate Consulting, which also works with the NEA, and all that money just flows around from one group to another, and it's hard to tell. It seems like they're all just, you know, wherever they can get the money, they're just flowing it through themselves, and it's all a cooperative thing. So it's almost as if Ascensio just didn't quite get the message that you kind of need to have consent to use people's money for that scheme. But it's all very reminiscent of it, and so it makes me wonder how much he thought, hey, this is just how it's done.
You know, that's an excellent point. And he is, I mean, to his defense, but he is young. And it also, I mean, there was no oversight, and he was involved with so many different campaigns and even one office and everything else. And you're right. I mean, a lot of this was probably just watching by learning, where suddenly now he wasn't skilled enough to really learn the ropes of how do you hide a lot of that stuff. Because, Justin, you're right. So many times, I think on Bald Hill Road, there's one thing listed. There's all these different organizations listed. And then if anyone bothers to go through the names of a lot of these some of these organizations, Working Families, something else, you see a lot of the same names pop up. And they just hide them under different names, and they issue press releases under the different group names. And it's almost like people that have like different shell, different companies, offshore companies set up under different accounts. So much of it just, it's all, they just start a name of a group. And then, but if you really look under the surface, a lot of it just seems to be a lot of the same people. Finally, I want to get to, I don't think this got enough attention, I don't think, in the media, but a different group came out with a poll last week that told a very different story about how people in Rhode Island feel about the extreme abortion bill that Governor Raimondo is supporting, that Nelly Gorbea is supporting, and the progressives up there. And she mentioned it in her State of the State, and then they immediately had those hearings up at the State House we talked about. And one of the things they kept talking about, they even had a truck rolling around the State House saying that 71% of Rhode Islanders agree with the legislation that they were putting forward. I think what the media missed was the media, I don't think, did a good enough job, Justin, to discern the difference between what was the poll based on and what was the legislation. Because there is a huge difference between the new legislation they're putting forward and what the poll question was. So I'm glad the new poll came out that showed a very, very different picture from what they had been peddling with the 71% approval.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fundamental problem with the media on the abortion issue is that people, the news media hasn't really explained what the law is to people. People still think Roe v. Wade is kind of, you know, common sense restrictions, just sort of essentially, you know, a European style thing, which most of Europe, we talk about them being very, very liberal, but their abortion laws tend to be much more restrictive than the United States, which is pretty much anything goes under Roe v. Wade. And people don't tend to understand that. And so, especially with polls, how you ask the question makes all the difference. So if you say, you know, oh, we're just going to codify the existing law of Roe v. Wade, people say, oh, yeah, that sounds fine, you know, because they don't really quite understand how radical Roe v. Wade is. But what this new poll by the Citizens for Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness, what they asked was, do you support, you know, abortion up to the moment of birth? And you get a whole different response to that, where you end up with, I don't know, maybe fewer than 10% actually agreeing with what the effect of this legislation would be, because they're actually considering their position. And it turns out, consistent with polls throughout time, that when you give people the options of what a policy would actually mean for abortion, you end up with strong majorities would halt all abortions after the first trimester, and a plurality would not allow them at all, except for rape, incest, and life of the mother. So that's how you get these huge differences in poll interpretations. And this has all been a good lesson in how, especially the left, manages to control a narrative. So you get this poll that asks questions in a particular way, and of course the news media are all friendly with the abortion lobby and generally supportive, is the impression you get. So that poll becomes the message, which gets put through the media, the governor portrays it like that, and suddenly you've got this kind of skittish state-level politicians all signing on to this thing that it looks like there's a lot of support. When in reality, if you dig into it and ask people questions, the support is not as strong as they think. In fact, it tends to go the other way. And it was interesting in that poll as well, they also asked about other priorities, and top priorities above abortion as an issue were things like getting rid of government corruption and lowering taxes. So it actually shows what a lot of us kind of suspect is Rhode Island's a lot more conservative than our political and media elite like to portray us as being. And it'd be nice if we could start having a government that's reflective of that.
That is an excellent, excellent point. And Justin, to that point, do you think, did the media, did they do enough during the coverage of the hearings to discern the difference between the poll and what the legislation is? Because obviously we've seen it in people highlighting New York and Virginia and certain other states, and Rhode Island's even been written up that way. But for some reason, absent the Journal, I think in many ways, Governor Raimondo has gotten a free pass. Let's just stay with the television stations. I think she's kind of gotten a free pass because I haven't seen them ask her or put her on the spot regarding would she acknowledge that this legislation is different. Because so far to me, she's still skating by in the pact of, oh, let's just make sure we keep it the way it is. We're going to codify so nothing changes. When, as you and I both know, the hearings up there, the legislation, even when asked point blank, why don't you just say it's not going to go beyond this? Why don't you just state this and that? They didn't want to do that. They wanted to stick with the talking point, pretend it's going to remain the same, but it's drastically different legislation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, pretending abortion legislation is different than what it actually is nothing new. I mean, it was the big controversies or the big splash in the online, especially of the last month, was in Virginia, talking about their abortion laws. And one of the sponsors there, when asked about abortion up to the point of birth, you could actually watch her. I think her last name was Tran. You could watch her face. She winced when the question was asked, would this allow abortion up to the moment of birth? And the woman's dilating. Can you still abort? And she winced before having to admit.
That's right. I did see that.
They have to hide that because that's, people just oppose it. And of course they oppose it. You know, they have to disguise things like the fact that they oppose fetal heartbeat bills. So when you can detect a heartbeat and you can tell, yes, this is a unique living organism inside the woman, that's terrible. They don't want to talk about that because when people start to consider that, and I think that's why you see a downward trend in support for abortion laws, because once you start getting into three-dimensional color sonograms, it starts to get really hard to pretend you're not killing an unborn infant.
That is exactly right. And before we let him go, and again, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, what I find interesting is that this week the General Assembly is off because it's school vacation, I believe, and on break. But here we are. They've been up there for more than a month. And what is not highlighted is, and nothing has been done. There haven't been, not that I'm aware of, there's been nothing significant done. This all just remains talk in committees and talk in general. And all of this stuff just gets drawn out to the very end. There's nothing that ever just, I don't understand. They're not doing anything. I think there should be discussions about the session could be shorter. It doesn't need to be as long. Nelly Gobia is talking about moving the primaries now into August. I don't understand why the primaries could not be in June and you just shorten the session. The session could just end June 1st, and then primaries could be mid-June before the summer if you wanted to do that. But by moving it to August, when most people are unplugged, most people still go on vacation in August, that is not looking to get more people involved in the system. I agree that after Labor Day, we have one of the latest primaries in the country, if not the latest. And then all over the country, you go back to even Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, when she won, that was in June, that's when New York has it. No one seems to step up and say, why do we continue to do this? And then it's such a short window. Why don't we move it to the spring? Why does the session last this long? Where then they say, oh, it's so hot in here and we want to get out of here. I don't see anything new being brought up that could make, there's never any talk about doing things more efficient, I think is my point.
Well, yeah, sure. The system as it is serves the interests who pay for the system, right? So you get you get these few months of the General Assembly not really doing anything. They sort of float ideas around in the local media and to voters and maybe get some sense of that. They have these hearings, but everything gets backed up and put in those last few weeks, usually right under the with the sort of Damocles of the budget hanging over everybody, and it's getting hot and everybody wants to get out of there, go on with their summers, and that's when they force all of the decision making in late night sessions. That's gone down a bit, which is to the speaker's credit, especially in the past few years. But that system as it's set up gets the result that they want. I mean, right now we're going to be, the governor put recreational marijuana in the budget. There's no reason that couldn't be, and it really should be, separate legislation that they could be debating right now.
Right.
That could be our big conversation, is do we want, as a society in Rhode Island, do we want to go down this path? And then you get that answer, and then you can look at your budget and say, okay, well, the people said no to that, or through their representatives, so we can't put that in the budget. That's the way it really should go. Honestly, I'm kind of torn. Sometimes I think maybe just having a longer session, I mean, obviously, that'd be more difficult with your part-time legislators and getting people to run. But I don't know. If you made it shorter, it's really just the same thing without the pretense of a few months of pretending to do work. Maybe making it longer would stretch some of these things out, and they'd actually have to resolve things. Like they did the pension some years ago. They did that legislation in the fall, more or less. So if you had that full-year calendar, then it might spread things out a little bit, and you'd actually have more discussion than just the budget. But I think to your point, you never get these big reforms. But even with the reforms that people want, with changing the house rules and such, it's small bore stuff. All right, I want another few hours to read legislation. Okay, you know, is that really going to change political calculations? I don't think anybody reads the legislation anyway. So those are the kinds of things we really do need more push on. But there's no support for it among people who have a game, have an investment in the political game.
Yeah, I think my thing is just there's nothing bold or daring. There's nothing that anyone ever is tossed about of trying to do things radically different, improve things, let's eliminate this. There's nothing remotely like that. To me, the three that are up there right now, that's the real status quo, and it's going to remain that way with Mattiello, Ruggiero, and Governor Raimondo. Folks, he's managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Katz. Justin, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Thanks, John.
All right, folks, there it is. Justin, normally we talk to him on Mondays, but today on Tuesday. All right, with that, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Phone lines are open, 401-766-1380, 401-766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. Hey, I want to remind you about Mega Disposal, local family-owned and operated trash recycling collection company. They have been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. If you own a small business, call Mega, M-E-G-A, for all your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for estate cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households, even a swing door to provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342 for Mega Disposal. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can call in really any topic. It's 1:40 in the afternoon. Our time is up in 20 minutes. 401-766-1380. 401-766-1380. Today, huge news today. Bernie Sanders has jumped in. He's going to run again. 77 years old. He would be 78 if elected president. Bernie Sanders, self-proclaimed socialist, announced he's in the race. So the race gets that much more crowded. I think it's good. Why not? Let him run. He's a socialist. He's just going to bring the party farther left. And that's a good thing. Because the farther left the party goes, the less chance they have, I believe, of actually winning. Now, he is in. There's two more big names that yet to see if they're going to jump in. One is Hillary Clinton, and the other is former Vice President Joe Biden. Over the weekend, Joe Biden was out of town. He was, I believe, in Europe, in Berlin, and he gave a speech. Now, he's complaining that the election process in the United States, that it's too long. And it shouldn't go on this long, and it starts too soon, and blah, blah, blah. Listen, either you're in or you're out, All right, you can't. Who are you going to blame on that? Are you going to blame President Trump for that? Elizabeth Warren announced she's in. And Kamala Harris announced she's in. And Cory Booker announced he's in. So some big names that still are waiting to see are, actually, I don't think Michael Bloomberg has officially announced he's in. Bloomberg, Hillary Clinton, Biden, and Beto O'Rourke. You still have four big names that are just hanging out there. So Bernie Sanders is in, and he joins the field now, and it is going to be more of a crowded field. Now it could start to get closer to the number of 15 by the time this whole thing is done. But Bernie Sanders, think of this. They're celebrating that Amazon is not going into New York, that New York chased away Amazon and their 25,000 jobs. So let them believe that. That is terrible. Let Bernie Sanders and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, let them run. Let them be the face of the party. Let their socialist ideas that will fail, right? The Green New Deal, where we want to get rid of air travel in 10 years. And we're going to pay for those who choose not to work. Who the hell would want to take a train? I was talking to a friend yesterday. My God, if anything, air travel is supposed to speed up. And he raised a point. It really hasn't made huge improvements. 30 years ago, if you took a flight to Florida, it took 3 hours from this area, 2.5, 3 hours. 30 years later, it's still 3 hours. It really hasn't sped up. Now, they're supposed to be speeding up air travel, and there's works to try to speed up air travel. They want to get New York to L.A. in 2 hours or 3 hours, and you could go Rhode Island to or Boston, Logan to Florida in 90 minutes. That's what you want, not trains. My God, and even if they're high-speed rail trains, they'd be packed, and you have to take them everywhere and go to Europe and everything else. There's no way that people want to do that. But let them run. Let them put it out there that that's what their idea is. Now, coming up, the FBI has moved in on Warwick. We're going to talk about that. Now, folks, as I talk about it, this is a time, the weather this week is actually good. Maybe the kids are on vacation. Upgrade your cell phone with our friend Sal with Metro by T-Mobile. Good afternoon, Sal.
There you are, Judy. Good afternoon.
There you are, Sal. The sun is shining. People are out, and people are realizing one of the most important things they can do is upgrade their cell phone for quality of life.
You're absolutely right. Because right now at Metro by T-Mobile, this is a perfect time to make the switch. $60 a month, all in, unlimited data, unlimited calling, unlimited texting. The best part, you're going to get unlimited Amazon Prime access. Unlimited Amazon Prime. You're going to take advantage of the two-day shipping, the unlimited music listening, the movie watching, exclusive content on the Amazon Prime video. All that is going to be included in our $60 plan. If you were to go out and get the Amazon Prime separately, it would cost you over $100 a year. So this is $60 a month, all in with unlimited data, calling, texting, and Amazon Prime. This is a great opportunity to switch. This is what got Dave from North Robinson, Steve from Cranston, John from Woonsocket. They all came down because they wanted to make the switch to Metro by T-Mobile, and they did that. They got on this plan, $60 a month, all in, unlimited data, texting, and Amazon Prime. I'm so easy to find. If you've been thinking about switching, you've been putting it off, but I'm so easy to find. I'm in Johnston. I'm right next to Johnston Town Hall. If you know where Johnston Town Hall is, you know where I am because I'm right next door to Johnston Town Hall. I'm in the Town Hall Plaza. If you have questions, maybe you're too busy throughout the week and you want to come down on the weekend, as you say, we do Saturdays with Sal. Call me. Make an appointment to come down. 332-5051. 332-5051. Come down. If you have any questions, problems with your phone, maybe you're comfortable with your current carrier, and that's fine. Maybe you have problems with your smartphone and you're just not getting the answers. I can help you. I want to help you. Come down. 332-5051.
Folks, Sal, how are the roads on Atwood Avenue in Johnston?
Crystal clear. They're so clear right now. The roads are busy out there. We've been pretty steady throughout the day, but there's no snow on the ground. It's very clear out there right now.
And still no turkey, no recent turkey sightings in any way.
No turkey sightings. Not as of late, but who knows? Maybe he's hibernating for winter and he'll make his return.
He's down in Boca with everybody else.
Exactly.
All right, folks, there he is, our friend Sal. He's the best. Stop it and see him. Sal at Metro by T-Mobile. Good afternoon. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380. 766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com. john@depietro.com. The mayor of Warwick confirms federal investigation underway at Warwick City Hall. Folks, they have killed the golden goose. The firefighters that were manipulating the system, the way they change contracts, going into the computer, it is finally all starting to happen. And now you have the FBI looking at the Warwick firefighters and their overtime pay. Now, what we've been told is they were not only manipulating the system, but using federal money to pay overtime, completely gouging. And when the new mayor came in and said, hey, wait a minute, these numbers don't make sense, they actually filed a grievance in Warwick, the Warwick firefighters. Filed a grievance against the mayor. And what did they find? That it was supposed to be one number. I think it was supposed to be 20% of some scam. And instead, they upped it to 25%. Greed, absolute greed. But now it's a different game when you bring the FBI in. It is a completely different game when you get the FBI, the U.S. attorney. And from what we understand, this seems to be a RICO case where they're going to present the investigation that it was a chain of command was established and underlings were encouraged, in fact, to manipulate the system for gain, break the law in order to for personal gain with this whole overtime scam they were running. Now, I know the Warwick firefighters are claiming, hey, we weren't doing anything that firefighters in other cities and towns weren't doing. So this case could have big ramifications if they start to uncover that some of these scams have been going on in some other cities and towns. But this is very serious when you have a city the size of Warwick and now you have the FBI in City Hall and they want to go through all the files and go through everything involving the firefighters in Warwick. Folks, it's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380. 766-1380. Let me ask you, if you're suffering from back pain or neck pain, joint pain, headaches, remember, call Cairo Plus. Spine and Injury Center. Suffer no longer. 231-2300. 231-2300 for Cairo Plus. They're located 190 Putnam Pike in Johnson, which is Route 44. Accepting same-day new patients. Dr. Giancarlo, listen, he loves helping people, and he can help you. They specialize in passive therapies such as therapeutic ultrasound, traction, and, of course, the chiropractic adjustment. Beautifully renovated office, Cairo Plus. Call them 231-2300. If you're suffering from back pain, neck pain, joint pain, headaches, call Cairo Plus, 190 Route 44, Putnam Pike in Johnston, right off of 295 at 231-2300. Say goodbye to your back pain, neck pain, joint pain, headache. 231-2300 and online at ChiroPlusRI.com. ChiroPlusRI.com. It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 766-1380. 766-1380.
In Rhode Island, big is more than the size of a Newport mansion. Big is how Rhode Island business is thinking. It's also why more companies look to Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Because with the expertise of Bank Rhode Island's commercial banking team and the resources to help companies achieve even bigger goals, thinking big in business means thinking first of Bank RI. Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This portion of the John DePietro Show is brought to you by K's, whether it's lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. Stop into K's. They're waiting for you. Lunch, dinner, drink in the lounge, great service, great staff, delicious sandwiches. K's, Cass Avenue in Woonsocket.
It's been said that great partners can make a business great, which is why more companies look to Signature Commercial Banking from Bank RI. Because with flexible lending, premier commercial banking services, and a more personalized style of banking, it means that with Bank RI, your company has more than a great bank. It has a great commercial banking partner. Signature Commercial Banking, only from Bank RI. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, the wear and tear of winter, folks, can really have a beating on your car. That's why thank God for tremendous detail. Tremendous detail equals tremendous results. Certified ceramic coating specialists, certified detailing specialists. It's tremendous detail. Raising the bar in vehicle care and protection. Friendly, educated staff striving for protection. Protect your vehicle. The most up-to-date, newly renovated facility, the premier detailing center of New England, is tremendous detail. Stop it and see them. 178 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham. You can call them at 508-479-5400. Add value to your vehicle, and on top of that, you're really going to enjoy it. Bring out the most it can be with tremendous detail. Have it detailed. And wait till they show you the Jade Quartz ceramic coating. You have a new car. The ultimate protection is the Jade Quartz ceramic coating. They did a demonstration for me. Folks, the dirt, the grime, the winter wear, it rinses, rolls right off, and your vehicle will pop with the Jade Quartz ceramic coating. Tremendous detail. Call them, 508-479-5400, located 178 Pulaski Boulevard in Bellingham, and online at tremendousdetail.com.
You are listening to the John DePietro Show on 99.9 FM and 1380 AM. News Talk WNRI.
Folks, we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. Here I am. It's Juan. John DePietro, this is the John DePietro Show. Weekdays, we start at 11, we go till 2. It's AM 1380, 99.9 FM. And always, you can listen online at WNRI.com. WNRI.com. Also, if you have Google or Alexa, you just search WNRI. Just say, Alexa, put on WNRI, and boom, there it is in crystal clear audio. And also remember, you can download the Simple Radio app, TuneIn Radio app. They're free. And then just search WNRI. You know, I love this story. Papa John's serving up free college tuition for employees. Papa John employees can now attend college free of charge through their new program. What do they want, Papa John's? They want their employees to stay and work there. They want to attract high-level quality employees. So what are they going to offer? Free college tuition if you'll work at Papa John's while you're going to college. And the reason I mention that is you don't need Governor Raimondo and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and some of these others that say, oh, no, the government should pay for free college. The government doesn't have to pay. Let private enterprise pay it. Just here in Rhode Island, Governor Raimondo with her free CCRI. Then she wants to make it free at Rhode Island College and free at URI. It's all unnecessary. You don't need to do that. Tap in. Work with private enterprise. Give them some incentive. Notice you work, then you get to go to college for free. You don't need to raise people's taxes. You don't need to pay all that money for CCRI. Or then she wants to expand the program. You don't have to do that. Now, dueling bills call for early voting. Folks, we don't need early voting. We need legitimate voting. Right now, we don't have legitimate voting. We have fraudulent voting is what we have. 766-1380. Let's go to the phones. Good afternoon. You're on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Did I hear you say that Bernie is 78, or is he going to be 78?
He is 77. Next year, if he wins and becomes president, he'll be elected president at age 78 years old.
And then he's getting to that edge where he's so tired already, he wants to shorten his run. He doesn't have the kind of stamina that the president has. So I say, Bernie, go away.
Well, he feels, you know, if I'm him and he ran in 2016, 3 years ago, but for the 2020, and although he was unsuccessful, all of these, look at the amount of people that are running now on the platform that he introduced 4 years ago. Right? He was the one that ran for president and said, we have to go after Wall Street. We should have $15 minimum wage. Healthcare should be free. Free college tuition, blah, blah, blah. And now fast forward, now you have Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, and some of these other. They were all basically taking his platform, and they're running for president. So, but what does it say to you that he is a self-proclaimed socialist And right now, he's apparently today, donations are flying into his campaign. That's how he raises money. He just puts up, we're online, you can make a donation, and the donations are flying in for him right now. If you're him, do you step back and let an Elizabeth Warren run, or do you say, hey, I'm the real deal, I want to run?
Yeah. I can't imagine her getting anywhere.
Oh, my God.
Can I bring up two quick
points? Go ahead. Go right ahead. No rush.
About Jess Smollett.
Yes, that fraud.
First time I heard about it when it was on, the very first time, and it said that he didn't want to comply and give his phone. I thought there was something wrong there. However, then I saw him on the interview with Robin, and he was saying why. So I thought, okay, that kind of sounds legit. Look at all these wonderful people on there with a lot of clout. But that being said, why couldn't he do a one-on-one with the, you know, the head one, the chief of police, you know? So I still, you know, wasn't really on his side. But then I heard him say that the guy, or I don't know if it was both of them, but they called out to him and they said, hey, Empire. And I know that's the show he's on. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, no, there's something wrong with this whole thing.
Right.
So that's it.
No, I agree with you. Now, even going back to that, if you were viciously attacked and someone put a neck around your neck and you got to the police and they said, can we go through your phone? We're trying to, you know, find out anything that maybe could have give us information. I just think you would cooperate in whatever way possible to help them.
Catch him.
And
really
not only that, if you really want to catch them. So now, the latest today is now he's refusing to talk to the Chicago police.
Oh, he can't refuse.
Well, he can. No, remember, you can refuse. You don't have to talk to the police. Yeah, now that doesn't mean they can't bring charges against him.
Well, they should.
They should bring charges against him. Do you realize that what if someone ran out based on what he said and just randomly, you know, killed someone or hurt someone based on what he said? That whole thing was a lie. Now, let me ask you before you go. Robin Roberts, do you think she was tough enough on him on Good Morning America?
No, it's true. I didn't see what you said. I didn't think about that part where she wasn't being tough enough, but she wasn't. She did just take his word
for it. She did. She never used the word alleged.
Never.
And basically everything he said, she took it that it was, she could have broken a lot of the information on this whole thing.
Oh, let me ask you this before
go
I go.
Ahead.
Did Jesse say the color of the skin of the people that he did?
He said when he first talked to police.
He didn't say white then.
Well, he did say white. When he first talked to police, he said they were two white men. Yes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. And now, of course, we know they're black. They're friends of his. He now is refusing to talk to the police. And the police want to talk to him more because they talked to the two brothers he hired for that fraudulent attack and realize now the whole thing was a hoax.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro. Tune in your radio.
Yep.
Go get him, Johnny D.
Well, that'd be nice. Folks, listen, enjoy this Tuesday. We're back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. It's John DePietro. Remember, follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. The Dion Experience is next. Also, go to DePietro.com, DePETRO.com, the official website of The Independent Man. And follow me also. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, John DePietro Show on YouTube.
WNRI and W236CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.